Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and it's our prayer that you'll come to know the deep, deep love of God that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we would invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in Rancho Cucamonga. Our address is 9284 Baseline Road, Rancho Cucamonga. And if you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the link and join us. Or you can always watch the YouTubes. Our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Ezekiel. Before we go to God's Word, let us pray. Lord God, may your Word be alive and redemptive. May your Word transform us. May your Word shape us and mold us to become the people of God. Fill our dry bones with your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 37, and then we'll jump to John chapter 20. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. What a vision. How'd you like to be brought out into a valley full of bones? And then the prophet says, he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into those slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, O son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we're cut off. Boy, I think there's a lot of people today that feel that way. That our bones are kind of dried up, our hope is gone, and we're cut off. Maybe God is speaking to you today. You didn't turn the radio on for, it wasn't a mistake. God wants to fill your bones with hope. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Wow. That's a powerful passage. I believe there's someone listening right now that needs the breath of God to fill their dry bones. Lord, just fill the dry bones of those that have lost hope right now in Jesus' name. One of my favorite passages of scriptures is the story of Jesus when he appears to the disciples after his resurrection. The disciples are gathered together in one place and they are locked in by their fears of the past, present, and the future. Let us enter into this passage and maybe tie the Ezekiel passage with the John passage, and let us get a glimpse to see ourselves in that upper room with the disciples and hear and experience the promise that is given. John chapter 20, 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." In Aramaic, Shalom Aleichem. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, and if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." I think there's a lot of us today that are a little bit like Thomas. Even after we celebrate Easter and the resurrection, we go, "I don't know if I believe." Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Maybe that's the word for today for someone. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Do you know that during the opening of the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia, Celine Dion sang a song that became tremendously popular? It was entitled "The Power of a Dream." The key words of the song were, "Feel the flame forever burn, teaching lessons we must learn to bring us closer to the power of the dream." The dream referred to was of hope and peace of the world. The songwriter affirmed that each person has the strength and courage to make this dream a reality. So what are your dreams? What are God's dreams for you? What are the dreams for your family, your place of work, your school, your church? The Apostle Thomas, like several of the other disciples, is only a name listed in the other gospel records. But here in the Gospel of John, Thomas appears three times. Once in chapter 11 at the raising of Lazarus, and again in chapter 14 in a conversation that takes place in the upper room before Jesus' death. In both accounts, Thomas appears to be really loyal, yet a little pessimistic. The Apostle Thomas was a man who allowed his dream to die. Thomas once held a dream that Jesus was God's unique messenger who would change the world. Jesus was the one who would save his people from their sin and establish God's heavenly kingdom on earth. Thomas fully embraced the dream as he walked with Jesus for 3 years. They ate together, ministered together, laughed together, cried together, dreamed together. Together they saw crowds gather, miracles done, people healed, and multitudes fed. But now everything had changed. Jesus was gone, crucified, dead, buried. Thomas's king, friend, mentor, and only hope was dead. The crucifixion changed everything for Thomas. But once, what once seemed like a God-given dream had turned into a nightmare. Then a few days later, after the resurrection, Thomas heard that what the other disciples had seen Jesus. Thomas must have thought, well, maybe, possibly, hopefully, there's still a chance for my dream. What is your dream? As I was working on this passage this week, thinking about how what is God saying to me, I was impressed with five P's. My just a side note, my homiletics professor used to say, give them 3 points in a poem and get out. Well, you're going to have 5 points. Hopefully, I can get through all of them. But here's the five P's. It's the presence, peace, power, purpose, and personal faith. Jesus' presence makes all things possible. How often do we find ourselves behind closed doors, locked in by fears? We become fearful, terrified, paralyzed. Boy, 2 years of the pandemic have locked a lot of people inside. They've locked people inside their homes, locked people inside their lives, locked people inside their minds. A lot of people are just locked up right now. We end up living on the wrong side of the resurrection. The problems, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations that we face are so overwhelming, and all this talk about Jesus really, well, it seems futile. What can be done but hide behind locked doors, walled in by our fears? This is where the disciples are in today's passage. They're terrified for their lives. Have you ever been terrified for your life? I talk to a lot of people as they've struggled with COVID-19. And the fear of the pandemic, or the fear of cancer, or the fear of going in debt or bankruptcy, or fear of a divorce or a separation. Have you ever been locked in by fear? Well, to be honest with you, I know I have. Do you know that the Greek word used for fear here is phobia, which we get our word phobia. The word for fear or being afraid is used 655 times in the Bible. The number one prohibition or command in the Bible is spoken more than any other is do not be afraid or do not fear. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. This is Pastor Dave, and if you need prayer, we're talking about fear today. Boy, someone may need prayer. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. Did you know that the number one prohibition or the number one command in the Bible is do not be afraid? It's used 365 times. Do not fear. Do not fear. I'll send you a bunch of them. I have them written down. If you're dealing with fear, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship. I'll send you some passages that tell us not to be afraid. 365, well, my goodness, that's one for every day. Just in my study for this passage this week, I found 136 of them. I'm not going to read them to you, but you're in good company if you're afraid. Abraham was afraid. Joseph was afraid. Moses was afraid. Joshua was afraid. Ruth was afraid. Samuel was afraid. Nehemiah was afraid. Elijah was afraid. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was afraid. Joseph, the father of Jesus, was afraid. Mary Magdalene was afraid. The disciples all heard those famous words, do not fear, do not be afraid. What are your phobias? I know I'm getting personal here. What are your phobias? What are your fears? War, death, divorce, disaster, loss of a job, financial crisis, loneliness? Are you afraid of the truth? Spiders, snakes, heights, darkness, or an empty tomb? I don't believe for a minute that the Bible implies that we will never be afraid. What the Bible teaches us is we are to put our fear in perspective and remember that our present circumstances is not the whole story. Let me say that again. What the Bible teaches us is that we need to put our fear in perspective and remember that our present circumstances, well, that's not the end of the story. The disciples were huddled in the midst of a locked room surrounded by their fears. It is the presence of Jesus that makes all things possible. Jesus enters into that upper room and he says, peace be still, or peace be with you. Shalom aleichem. Jesus says, peace be with you, not once, but three times. And when he says the word peace, he shows his disciples his hands and his side. See, he says, see, I've suffered for you. I'm here to bring you peace in the midst of your fears. Peace in the midst of your fear. Well, I think we should pay attention when a person's first words and last words they speak are about peace. In John 14:27, he's gathered the disciples in the upper room before he goes to the garden, and he says to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In John 16:30, he's ending his time with the disciples, and he's teaching them about the Holy Spirit, and he closes by saying, "I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." In the midst of the fears of the disciples gathered in that upper room on the night of Jesus' betrayal, words of peace were spoken. Then, 3 days later, behind locked doors because of fear, on the night of Jesus' resurrection, the words peace are spoken again. Not once, not twice, but three times. Peace be with you. The word peace is used 323 times in the Bible. Don't you think it's interesting that just about as many times that fear or being afraid is mentioned, peace is mentioned? The Greek word used for peace is eirene, and the Hebrew word is shalom. And when Jesus spoke those words of peace, he used the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom in Hebrew means so much more than the absence of war. We want peace in the Ukraine. We want peace in the war-torn areas of the world. But the word shalom means wholeness, completeness, or fullness. The risen Jesus speaks words of peace to shatter their locked doors of fear, to bring wholeness to his disciples emotionally, physically, mentally, relationally, and spiritually. Jesus's power makes all things possible. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." When Jesus breathes on the disciples, it's the same action that God took in Genesis when God breathed life into Adam. Also, when God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel to breathe life into the dry bones, God breathed new life into Adam and instructed Ezekiel to breathe new life into the dry bones. Jesus now breathes new life into the disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just three nights earlier, Jesus had told the disciples about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be their advocate who would teach them and remind them all that Jesus had told them. The Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth and would be their comforter. What I find so fascinating about this passage is the verb receive. The Greek word John uses for receive comes from the Greek word lambano, which is an active verb that has the basic meaning to take to oneself or to collect or to seize. The risen Christ tells the disciples to take hold of the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit comfort them, guide them, heal them, and strengthen them in the midst of all their fears. Jesus' purpose is a personal faith. Listen to the last words in John 20. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written so that you may believe." You may come to believe is what it says. You may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Listen, Jesus' presence promises to overcome our fear. Christ is bigger than our present circumstances. Jesus' peace promises wholeness to every part of our lives, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Jesus' power is with us. Jesus' power is expressed in the Holy Spirit living in us. And Jesus' purpose is that we believe and have life in his name. So what? Let's wrap it up. Let's bring it home, Dave. What do these ancient words really written so long ago have to do with us today, thousands of years after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Our so what is that with Jesus, we are more than okay. Whenever we are afraid, we can come into Jesus' presence and know that with God all things are possible. Whenever we are afraid, we can hear Jesus' words, "Peace be with you, Shalom Aleichem," and we can know that Jesus has the power to heal us completely from our fears. Whenever we are afraid, let us receive or take hold or seize the power of the Holy Spirit and know that we will have life in Jesus' name. I think Jesus knew that many of us would be afraid. Yes, I do. I think Jesus knew that many of us would doubt. I think this is why Jesus picked Thomas as his disciple. "Thomas, you're going to be the perfect example. One day, you're going to be shivering in fear in the upper room in Jerusalem, afraid for your life, hiding behind locked doors, and you'll hear from your brothers and sisters that the tomb is empty and I'm alive and they have seen me, and you will be quoted as saying that unless you can put your finger into my wounds, you won't believe. Thomas, I bring my peace into your fears. Put your fingers into my wounds and let me turn your doubt into belief." Where does God have you? Where are you now? You're not listening by chance. Where are you afraid? Look at the disciples. Look at Thomas. "It's okay," he says. "It's okay. Do we doubt? Are we afraid? Are we struggling today?" Look at Thomas. "It's okay. Jesus has the remedy for our fear. It's his peace. It's his presence. It's his power. It's his purpose to bring us life and life abundantly. Jesus will turn our doubts into believing by the power of the Holy Spirit who has been breathed by Jesus into our lives." Maybe there's someone here that's never really accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this is the time, this is the hour, this is the minute when you go, "Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I accept your life. Help me to not doubt and be afraid. Come and comfort me. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit." When we think about Jesus' presence and Jesus' power and Jesus' peace, that can overcome our fear. I know many of us right now are struggling. As a pastor, I talk to so many people every week. Some people are struggling with doubt over what's going to be happening in this world, the economy, the wars, the rumors of wars, the pandemic. Some people have lost their jobs and are afraid. I'm going to tell you that Jesus can bring you peace. Jesus can come and enter into your locked room. My prayer is that you're going to open your heart today to him. Open your heart. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to be afraid. But it's my prayer that you'll come to know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and that his peace will envelop you. Let us pray. Dear God, you dare us each day to believe and dream again. As we come to you today, heal our pain. Give us godly goals to live for you. Empower us in prayer and be with us as we face our fears. As we experience your presence, give us your heart of grace for the world. Bless us with the motivation to move out of the ruts of our comfort zone. And as the disciples gathered in that upper room, your breath melted away their fears and filled them with your presence, your peace, your power, and your purpose. Fill us today. In Jesus' name, amen. My prayer is that you'll come to know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.